going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast. We'll dive right in. And this truly is an insane thing we're starting with today. Remember, insane things to make this podcast have to be things we've never seen before, either in history or in our lifetimes. It's a miracle I can do this every week. Insane thing number 6 is truly one of those. The director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, just declassified a shocking plan by former President Joe Biden's administration for dealing with domestic terrorists, i.e. Trump voters. John Lott wrote about it in Real Clear Politics. I'll put the source in the sources because everybody should read it. If you remember, there was a public plan for dealing with domestic terrorists, which was white supremacist Nazi Republicans, of course, but it was only going to be the criminal white supremacist Nazi Republicans. In other words, those engaged in crimes. Okay, this is the classified version of that report, i.e. the rest of the plan. And what you see here, folks, is them using classification to cover their crimes. It's a classic hallmark of the deep state. The classified version of the plan was called Strategic Implementation Plan for Countering Domestic Terrorism. How are domestic terrorists, according to the plan, identified? Through non-criminal behavior. That's a direct quote. The plan lays out how concerning non-criminal behavior, mainly speech, and in some cases, religious beliefs, and I'm not talking Islamic or jihadist, I'm talking Catholic and Christian beliefs, would be used as indicators for targeting. Folks, this is targeting by law enforcement agencies, the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI. The plan laid out how this would be dealt with through censorship, closing people's accounts at banks or financial institutions called debanking until they were virtually banned from the digital transaction system, and gun control. The plan flat out says that censorship is necessary to protect democracy and free speech, which is Orwellian and bizarre. The language closely mirrors the European Digital Security Act. We've seen how that works in that country. Opposition parties, conservative parties, populist parties, parties modeled on Donald Trump, political movements modeled on him, are utterly silenced online and are not allowed to campaign at all, at least not online. Essentially, what has happened here is that the Democrats implemented their own Digital Services Act, but they did it secretly and used classification to hide it. Lott writes, the Biden administration obliterated the line between lawful expression and criminal intent by encouraging federal agencies to monitor speech that involved no criminal activity. So far, and especially in arguing before the Supreme Court that the FBI was just trying to keep everybody safe during COVID, once you read the declassified version of the plan, Lott writes, it becomes clear the Biden administration's actions weren't necessarily by accident. Despite repeated public denials, it followed an explicit policy of identifying people based solely on their political and religious views. The program tagged people for targeting by using that used symbols online like 2A, referencing the Second Amendment, the Betsy Ross flag, the Gadsden flag, as indicators of potential domestic terrorism. Okay, folks, understand where they were when they did this. They had stolen this election using fraudulent votes, ghost votes, illegal immigrant votes. We've documented all of that in the past. I'm not going to go back through. At this point in 2021, the Republican leadership even refused to acknowledge it. In other words, they had total power. They believed they did. They were going to win every election from now on. They were going to cheat. They were going to steal. They could begin the political crackdown, USSR style. That's what this was. Insane thing number five. When people think conspiracy theories, kooky ones, pushed by conspiracy theorists, one of the top that always ends up on the list is chemtrails. The idea that the government can control the weather and they're up there spraying in a bid to do just that. Then maybe poison us all. The idea that that's actually happening has been widely debunked. And the idea that the government could control the weather, mocked and laughed. Wait a minute. That was until this week when the UK Telegraph, one of the two big dailies in the UK, think the equivalent of the Washington Post, New York Times, broke the story that the UK government would be doing just that. The headline, the UK Daily Mail, experiments to dim the sun in bid to curb global warming will be approved by UK government within weeks. Okay, couple of things about this. Here's what's so jaw-dropping. Number one, this is an admission that it is possible to do this and that world governments know it. That was one of the big things that's been debunked for years by the media. Debunked, I put that in quotes. Outdoor trials could include injecting aerosols into the atmosphere or brightening clouds to reflect sunshine, thus changing the temperature. So this is the first real admission by mainstream media that, yeah, this is possible to do. What I suspect is actually happening here is too many people are noticing governments are doing it. I mean, look at the legislature in Tennessee. Both the House and the Senate have now passed, and it's awaiting the governor's signature, a bill banning chemtrails in that state. Keeping this under wraps isn't an option anymore. So admit you have the technology, it demystifies it, but that doesn't make it any less dangerous. The official word they're using for it is solar geoengineering. They call it a set of proposed technologies designed to reduce global warming by reflecting a portion of incoming sunlight back into space. As soon as it broke, even liberal climate change professors and climatologists began questioning whether this was a good idea. Yeah, I'd question that too, considering we haven't technically warmed since 2007. So cooling the Earth, maybe in a way that's permanent, totally terrifying. Insane thing number four. I'll let Deputy Chief of Staff, who I actually think should be Chief of Staff, Stephen Miller, lay it out. And as you listen to this, folks, think how shocking it is as we discover what Joe Biden allowed to run around in our country. Folks, this stat came out this week, by the way, and this piggybacks on what I'm about to play with from Stephen Miller. Since Trump was sworn in on January 20th, he has rounded up, has captured 219 terrorists. That is people who are either on the FBI's terror watch list or the international terror watch list. Again, after 9/11, George W. Bush created the Department of Homeland Security to protect the homeland from terrorists. Fast forward 24 years, Department of Homeland Security was catching them at the border, releasing them, knowing damn well who they were, and in some cases illegally, as we learned last week, giving them Social Security numbers, violation of the law, and signing them up for welfare benefits. Trump had to strip the Social Security numbers from four terrorists to illegal immigrants. In other words, the agency formed to fight terrorists was now trafficking them into the U.S. Okay, This number is just released this week, 219 terrorists caught since January 20th. That is a 655% increase in arrests over what Biden did during the same period. In 2024, he got 29, Trump got 219. Meanwhile, 300 Tren de Aragua members await deportation from America, blocked by judges, liberal judges.
The Democrat Party has become the party of terrorists and illegal aliens. That is the Democrat Party of today. Who does it sympathize with? Who does it fight for? Who does it move heaven and earth to protect? Illegal alien gang members and foreign terrorists. Let's talk just briefly about Tren de Aragua, the vicious gang that drills holes in people's hands, chops off their fingers, murders them in cold blood, a gang that based on information that has been discovered by FBI is even plotting assassination attempts inside the United States of America. In just the last few weeks, President Trump has found 300 ringleaders and top members of the Tren de Aragua terrorist organization. They are the ones that are now in Texas awaiting deportation under the Alien Enemies Act, stymied by judges. But Sean, they're going to get deported. They're going to get sent home. President Trump found them. 300 ringleaders and top executives of that terrorist organization in just the last couple of weeks.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
That is his level of determination while the Democrat Party is flying around the world defending gangbangers and terrorists.
Folks, remember back in November, we had the news that cartels were using Telegram to coordinate their assassination attempts on Donald Trump? Folks, this is absolute war on our soil. They will kill him if they can. Understand that. Trump gets it. All of that led to the discovery this week that St. Kilmar Garcia Abrego, yes, I'm as sick of this guy as you are, is actually not just a violent illegal immigrant, wife beater, and member, as documented exhaustively on this podcast of MS-13, he's a human trafficker. It turns out that the van he was driving belonged to the guy that he identified as his boss to the Tennessee Highway Patrol. Why wasn't his boss driving the van? Well, he had been convicted by a jury of human trafficking and deported. Human trafficking in the very same van that St. Kilmar was caught in. The only reason he didn't go to prison is because the Tennessee Highway Patrol called the FBI and the FBI demanded that they let him and the illegal immigrants go. I guess they were too busy with what we started the podcast with this morning, surveilling innocent Christians and Trump voters. That probably takes a lot of manpower, I can only imagine. Got to let the human traffickers go. And by the way, keep in mind, remember what we learned about Abrego Garcia? We learned he is on an international gang database. His name is on it. That is why the Tennessee Highway Patrol held him and called the FBI. That is why the Tennessee Highway Patrol thought, wow, this is a great catch. The FBI is totally going to want this guy. No, not at all. Is he a conservative Catholic? No. Is he a Trump supporter? No. Well, let him go. By protecting Abrego Garcia, the Democrats are protecting their smuggling networks. Meanwhile, in a terrifying move this week, Abrego Garcia got one step closer to getting back to his not homeland, America. He's a citizen of El Salvador because Bukele moved him from CICAT, the notorious prison, to his own special lower security prison where he has his own bed, his own room, and he gets three meals a day. This rightly terrified radio host Steve Bannon, who said, and I've been saying this for weeks, so this is why I'm showing you somebody else is saying this besides me. He's saying, look, if they can get the precedent, the Democrats are bringing him back to America, we will never be a sovereign country again because it's going to set the legal precedent. This is the norm, and he gets a hearing. Here's Bannon on the Megyn Kelly podcast.
I don't like the fact he's been transferred from CICAT. I don't like the direction of this so far. This is the worst of the worst, and look how the media's embraced this and made this guy a hero. The reason is it's about due process. If in their concept of these invaders, if we bring him back for that hearing, it's over. It's over. It's over for the sovereignty of the country. It's over for the country. You're never going to get to the rest of the criminal gangs. President Trump, I think, came out on Truth Social today. Megan, look, you know this a thousand times better than I do. I think he said the calculation that the ICE guys have done is 200 years. You'd have 200 years to even get to the criminals, not even to the 10 million. Just the due process hearings you would have and over and over again.
That brings us to insane thing number three. Donald Trump is very much headed toward, maybe even being maneuvered into, an Andrew Jackson-style showdown with the Supreme Court, where Jackson said, screw you, send some soldiers, make me. Practically in the dead of night, over Easter weekend, the Supreme Court issued an emergency order barring Trump from using the Alien Enemies Act to deport any more Venezuelan men. That's the 300 awaiting deportation. Trump needed the Alien Enemies Act for one reason. We'd have to wait, as he said, 200 years just to get him through the immigration courts. And those courts are packed full of hardcore liberal Marxists. These guys wouldn't be going anywhere if he has to run them through the courts. And folks, that's ridiculous, which is exactly what Justice Alito and Justice Thomas's dissent said. Folks, what we've seen in this pattern of rulings is that Justice Amy Coney Barrett is a full-on open borders zealot who is going to vote with the left here. That's just what's going to happen. And Justice Roberts, again, he comes from that Bush open borders tradition. He would the most important thing to them is the erasure of U.S. sovereignty, bar none. Every bit of erasure of U.S. sovereignty, as I've demonstrated exhaustively on this podcast, did not start with Barack Obama. It started with George W. Bush. And so you're going to see Roberts ultimately vote when it matters to keep the borders open, undermine the sovereignty, and give rights that didn't previously exist to illegal immigrants. Trump wanted these guys sent to the El Salvador prison because he rightly fears that if a Democrat wins the presidency in a few years, they'll all just come right back over the border. He's so terrified of it. He's militarized the border. We've run down what the stakes are on the Battleground podcast before. Remember, Tren de Aragua in particular is not just a gang. It is an arm of the Socialist Party of Venezuela. It is an enforcement wing. It is the reason that Maduro is in office right now, despite winning just 30% of the vote and openly stealing the election. The whole world agrees, including the UN, that he stole the election. And when people outraged spilled out into the streets, they were in protest. You can see the videos on X. Again, they were gunned down by men in plain clothes, zipping by in cars and on motorcycles. Who are they? Tren de Aragua. Tren de Aragua is a subset of the Cartel de los Solos gang. These two gangs are political. They are ideological. The leadership is left-wing and socialist. I told you this weeks ago, and it's great once again to be this many weeks in front of the news. Yep, declassified FBI assessment just released overnight says exactly the same thing. Venezuelan government uses Trinidad and Tobago as proxies to undermine U.S. public safety. That's the FBI assessment that had been classified before. It's declassified. Now, Fox News writes, these findings should shock Americans. This is why the Democrats are so desperate to get them here. They want to use them the same way for those assassinations that Stephen Miller told you about as muscle, but with a deniable difference. You don't have to call Trinidad Aragua to Democrat Party headquarters. They are ideological fellow travelers who know where their bread is buttered, and they will take care of your political opponents for you and anyone who protests what you're doing. Don't believe me? Spend an hour or two looking up the videos on X. And that's exactly what the declassified FBI report says. The FBI assesses that in the next 6 to 18 months, Venezuelan government officials likely will attempt to leverage Trinidad and Tobago members in the United States as proxy actors to threaten, abduct, and kill members of the Venezuelan diaspora in the United States who are vocal critics of Maduro and his regime. Nicolas Maduro is a Marxist dictator who hijacked a once prosperous Venezuela and brought in nothing but total economic collapse and gang takeover. That's how he did it. You're watching the same model right now in the United States of America. He crumbled Caracas, now overrun with drugs and violence, and wants to do the same across the United States by sending his most violent and dangerous criminals into our communities, the FBI assessment says. The only question now, folks, because we know what their aim is, according to this report, the Venezuelan government gives sanctuary to Trinidad and Tobago, aiding and abetting their crimes and terrorist activities against the United States by enabling them to thrive. But remember the speech that Maduro gave? And you could find it online. I've linked to it before in the Battleground America podcast. My daughter speaks Spanish. She's fluent. And I sat with her and we translated every single word. My Spanish is pretty good. Hers is perfect. And I want to make sure I didn't misunderstand what he was saying in the speech. He claimed that the Biden regime threatened him with sanctions if he did not deliberately send Trinidad and Tobago to America. He even got specific enough, saying the DEA and the FBI had moved them into America via safe houses in Colombia, and even told Trump where to go to find the documents proving it. In other words, he's saying to Trump, look, I didn't send them. Your predecessor wanted them. Look, folks, he's an evil dictator who murders people. I don't know if he's telling us the truth. But either way, Trinidad and Tobago is a left-wing socialist terrorist organization whose leaders dabble in crime. Which brings us to insane thing number two. We're back at the Andrew Jackson-style showdown that is inevitably coming between Trump and the judiciary, because it looks like the Republican Congress is just not going to bail him out. More on that in a minute. Folks, this is just the last 48 hours, okay? I'm sure by the time you listen to this, there'll be more of these. What the judges have done. Obama federal judge William Orrick just barred Trump from defunding sanctuary cities. Yet another liberal judge, Stephanie Gallagher, ruled that a second man, so not Kilmar, another one, this one's a Trinidad and Tobago, be brought back from El Salvador by Donald Trump. Yet another liberal judicial dictator, this one a U.S. district judge, Royce Lamberth, ordered Trump to restore funding to Liberal Voice of America. This after another judge limited DOJ's access to Social Security data in an emergency ruling. I bet it was an emergency. Yeah, because they found that Biden had given millions of Social Security numbers illegally to illegal immigrants, and 6,000 of them went to gang members and terrorists. In other words, those with criminal convictions. So yeah, I bet it was an emergency. That's outrageous. DOJ These are just some guys who walked into the building. They are federal employees who answer to Donald Trump. That judge is essentially saying that Trump himself has no right to access the data if those he sends to retrieve it aren't allowed to. But that's not the full horror show part. No, that started last week when Judge Boasberg asserted that because Trump defied his order, which Trump was appealing, that Boasberg had the right to appoint a prosecutor to criminally prosecute anyone in the Trump administration who flew those illegals to El Salvador. Boasberg acknowledged that he didn't have the jurisdiction to even hear the case in the first place, which is what the Supreme Court found. But he said he gave an order and the Trump administration defied it before that Supreme Court ruling. So guess what? It's criminal prosecution time. Now, yet another judge this week, U.S. District Judge Paula Zinnes, is saying the same thing, that Trump is acting in bad faith. She wants information about people deported by Trump. She's trying to bring them back. She, too, is asserting that she has a right to appoint a special prosecutor should the Trump administration not cooperate. Then you've got the state of California and a coalition that includes Letitia James, who originally prosecuted Trump, suing over the tariffs. What's that? Oh, they're trying to insert federal judges into the tariffs so that they will now be making foreign policy on trade. Guess what those judges are going to do? When Trump won't comply with whatever stupid order that they issue illegally, what are they going to do? Say they can appoint a prosecutor. Fuck, they're going to try to put the entire Trump administration in prison. Now, a lot of people have said to me, well, Trump could just pardon them. Yeah, but then that's going to open another fight with more liberal judges weighing in, because can you pardon someone going forward? That's the question. I mean, I guess Trump could just pardon his team on Friday every week, but it would be never ending as they're hauled into court after court after court as attorneys for the left try to get around the immunity. The ultimate goal here, though, is criminal prosecution of Team Trump. Or I don't know what he'll do, maybe daily pardons for them. I don't even know where this should be. Senator Amy Klobuchar admitted this week that that is actually the Democrats' plan, to a shocked Dana Bash on CNN. Remember the audio I played you last week about how dozens of congressional Democrats and 75 judges get together every week to strategize in big phone calls their lawfare? This is what they've come up with. It's terrifying and kind of brilliant. Listen to the shock in Dana Bash's voice, because she understands what criminal contempt means. They're going to try to jail the entire upper echelon of the Trump administration when they defy or don't go along with whatever crazy order they're issuing on any subject Trump is dealing with in any given week.
Well, if the administration won't do it themselves, a court does have the power to refer it to the Justice Department, mentioned by Judge Boasberg here. But also, if the Justice Department won't do anything, a court can actually appoint a prosecutor on their own, an outside prosecutor, because they have the power to hold people in contempt. And that may be the people that did the deporting. It may be the secretary who's responsible for this. But they have the right to do this.
I can't show you the shock on Dana Bash's face, but listen for it in her voice. She knows what Klobuchar just said the roadmap is. We, our judges, dozens and dozens and dozens of them, are going to try to put Team Trump in prison. Now, Trump himself can't go. The Supreme Court established that, gave him immunity. Don't worry, they'll arrest him as soon as he leaves office. But the rest of the team?
Forgive me, I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying correctly, which is that you believe that the federal courts, maybe a district court, I'm not sure, you can tell me if the Supreme Court could even do this, should hold key administration officials in contempt if they continue to defy the Supreme Court, which I'm guessing you see.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
yes,
the way our should. Law works. They, yes.
Again, if you're thinking that'll never happen in America, it'll never come to that, remember, the top eight architects of Trump's 2016 victory, many of whom continued on with him into the White House, are all convicted criminals now, 100%, including Trump's fundraiser, his campaign manager, Trump himself, Michael Flynn, Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, his trade advisor. Folks, they've done it before. Why wouldn't they think they could do it again? There is a way out of this, and it's for the GOP Congress to end this. And folks, this is what the Supreme Court's really hoping for. We should not have to resolve this at the Supreme Court. We have so many ways to rein in these district courts. Again, Congress created the district courts. They are not in the Constitution. They could wipe them all out, all 700 judges, like that, tomorrow. And what the founders used to do is when they got mad at a judge, they would just dissolve his judgeship. They wouldn't even bother to impeach it. Takes 2/3 in the Senate anyway. Dissolving the judgeship just takes 50+1. So it's easy to do. We could limit their ability to hear immigration cases. We should absolutely clarify in law they don't have the ability to issue nationwide injunctions, only district injunctions, meaning they can't enjoin the president. They can only rule in a case. Maybe that case gets to the Supreme Court. Maybe it doesn't. There's so many ways we could stop them. But I looked it up. Remember when I did the podcast about how for 3 days, Elon Musk and maybe Donald Trump, I don't know, sent Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, out to blister Mike Johnson for not passing this legislation. And after about 72 hours, he had to respond and said, yeah, man, we're going to do it. We're like totally going to do it. You know, I looked it up. That was a month ago. Not a damn thing. And the media and the judges and the Democrats see it. And that's how it's gotten a month later to them going, you know, we may throw them in prison. We may do that. Why? They're looking at Mike Johnson's weakness. I'm telling you, folks, I said at the time, letting Johnson be the speaker was a disaster. I said that right away. I mean, this is a guy who was still voting to censor us as recently as December. That's how absurd this individual is and weak. This is a guy who only has his speakership because when the Republicans tried to impeach him, the Democrats voted in lockstep to save him. And then he went on passing their budget. I thought Ron DeSantis should have been the speaker. You don't have to be elected to Congress. Nobody has whipped a legislature into shape like DeSantis did in Florida. He turned it into a 6-week printing press. And what he inherited, it was incredible. What he inherited was really a purple legislature of very liberal Republicans who then became so afraid of him that they would pass whatever he wanted. Florida didn't used to function like that before he got there. We need something like that. And I said, Trump is just delaying the inevitable by not having the clash and getting Mike the knife out. He had the political capital to do it. He is rapidly losing it. And I'm telling you, you're going to see a and you know what? This is going to tie right into what the Democrats are going for here is even if they fail, they can say everyone around Trump is under prosecution and Trump's a dictator and they're all criminals and look, he has to pardon them every week. You know, they're all tied up in case after case while the Republicans sit on their hands. And folks, Katie bar the door if we lose the midterms, they will go to prison. I'm telling you, they'll roll right over those presidential pardons. It will get there if it's here now. This is a problem. I'm not going to lie to you because I don't think that legislation to stop these judges is coming. I really don't. Look, as Ron DeSantis said, we knew in the beginning of the year we needed it. We knew this was going to happen because it happened at a record level in the last Trump administration. And they did nothing. Finally, insane thing number one. Most Americans look at this whole tariff situation, especially with China, as about trade and cheap stuff and cheap prices. To me, it's a matter of life and death. Like, take this from this fall, Wall Street Journal. Chinese hackers have gained the ability to shut down dozens of U.S. ports, power grids, water treatment plants, and nuclear facilities and other infrastructure targets at will. Jake Sullivan told telecommunications and technology executives. That was from the fall. Then 3 weeks ago now, and I can't stop talking about it because it's super important, Wall Street Journal broke another story that in December, after this story broke, a delegation of Chinese met with a delegation with the Biden administration and unsolicited volunteered that a series of cyber hacks that they had denied committing and that we weren't really sure who committed were actually done by them. They had cyber attacked us. They let us know it was in punishment, this time for our support of Taiwan. The message was clear, was a warning, was a threat. They could do it again. Folks, We are funding our own destruction with cheap stuff. Now this breaks. Headline. Folks, I could do this all day long. China helping the Houthis attack U.S. Navy vessels. China's regime, despite repeated warnings from Washington, is now helping the Yemen-based militia to kill American sailors. Providing satellite data that is being used to identify U.S. and other ships in the Red Sea for missile strikes appears to be part of the deal between Beijing and the Houthis. The Houthis do not possess this targeting ability. They cannot use the missiles they're getting from Iran to hit us without it. This is an act of war. The Gatestone Institute was suggesting that President Trump should invoke the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917 and end trade across the board, final, and investment ties with China. He could do it. He's got the authority. China's regime, by its actions and words, they say, is America's enemy. Blaine Holt, a retired U.S. Air Force Brigadier General, said to Gatestone earlier this month, "We have got to stop China before they sink an American ship." But we are on the verge of war with these people. And I am convinced if they get enough market share outside the United States of America, they will decimate us. They've been telling us that in speeches since the early 2000s, including speeches by their generals. We've talked about them before on the Battleground America podcast, that the reason they wanted the gain-of-function technology was so they could begin to genetically program viruses to kill people who are not genetically Chinese. They said this in their speeches. They wanted us to know, folks, it's coming. And this country has got to be isolated. And folks, I suspect, and I know this sounds crazy, okay, but this would have sounded nuts going into the collapse of the communist government of the Soviet Union. Nobody saw that coming either. Folks, I think Trump's ambition, I don't know if he'll achieve it, is no less than to collapse the Chinese Communist Party as a ruling party and make China essentially another Japan. It basically a democracy ruled by the people that, yes, competes with us, but not the way it did before, not when it had slave labor. Those people won't vote for slave labor. If we could do that, we could change everything. We could bring down our worst enemy, who is clearly violently aggressing against us, wants us to know they'll do it again in the future. We could bring them down without firing a shot, because the more powerful they get, the worse it gets, folks. And that's a very long lead in for our number one most insane thing. Remember Apple whining and complaining because they like to make our iPhones using slave labor? That was like, what, 2 weeks ago? See the headline just broke? Apple's China exodus. All U.S. iPhones to be made in India by 2025. Wow, that is a quick move of supply chain, a quick move of manufacturing. You know why? They can do it. They can do it if they want. If successful, this shift would see over 60 million iPhones produced annually in India by 2026, doubling current output. Folks, this has to happen. It does. And despite all of the gloom and doom by the media, by Wall Streeters, Zero Hedge is reporting this week what the mainstream media won't tell you. Headline, China is in economic dire straits and they're no longer able to hide it. The Trump administration's tariffs on China are not the initiator of the nation's troubles, but they are more of a bookend to a process of decline that has been going on for years. And while Trump's seemingly schizophrenic style of changing tariffs up, down, all around, and folks, Trump always intended the tariff on China to be 50%. He was very clear about that. He might have jacked it up to 124% and then as high as 245%, but the 50% tariff he seems to have settled back on has always been the plan. He's been saying that, since he was giving speeches, running for office the second time. So we are right where he intended us to be. Now listen to this from Daily Pulse, because nobody else is going to tell you this. The last thing that Chinese elites and a lot of our globalist elites want you to know is how close to the edge China actually is. And by China, I mean the Communist Party of China. Listen.
But the problem for Chinese manufacturers is not just the tariffs, but the uncertainty of timing and sudden changes to policy. They say no one is willing to make a big move on production or shipments until the trade landscape becomes more predictable. This means most Chinese factories are frozen. Trump's tariff actions are widely criticized by the media as erratic or poorly planned, but what they don't understand is that the uncertainty is the real leverage, not the tariffs. What seems like a spur-of-the-moment decision or a sudden capitulation on Trump's part can be highly effective at throwing foreign governments and corporations off balance. Globalism requires a perpetual status quo. Change of any kind is like holy water to a vampire. Chinese shipments are actually on standby and orders are frozen. Nothing is moving.
Is it chaos or is it a deliberate strategy? Either way, seems to be working. In this next clip, she talks about the devastation of Trump routing transshipment, i.e. Trump has put tariffs on a lot of these other nations that China transships through. For instance, a lot of the manufacturing facilities, say, in Vietnam aren't Vietnamese. They're Chinese. And they never anticipated Trump would get them as they reroute stuff through Vietnam. But he has, and it's killing them.
Some shipping companies may even face insolvency. Southeast Asia has become a heavily impacted area due to the U.S. reciprocal tariffs. For Chinese companies relying on U.S.-China trade, they did not expect that Trump would impose such strong tariffs on Southeast Asian countries like Cambodia and Vietnam. With the tariffs now in place, the profits of Chinese companies exporting to the U.S. have decreased significantly, as some have nearly become non-existent. The more they export, the more they lose, and even their attempts to use transshipment trade have been blocked.
And perhaps even more interestingly is Chinese nationals reporting how much of an effect this is having on their businesses.
Hey, what I fear the most has happened. I got an email early this morning from a U.S. client who purchases several million dollars worth of goods each year. Due to changes in Trump's tariff policies, they'll indefinitely suspend their orders. I read it and nearly passed out. What do we do now? More than 50% of factories will close this year. The golden era, when machines were running nonstop, is over. My brother, I just got off the phone with a client. He's gone bankrupt and has cleared out his stock. A lot of my clients in my WeChat moments are gone now. My peers are desperately slashing prices and extending payment terms. We have orders with payment terms, but we can't collect the money. Those doing cash sales can't even get orders.
Zero Hedge says China will not be able to survive tariffs on the current scale for long. A single year of 124% tariffs would crush China's economy beyond repair.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.